Let us come before God with prayer. In our attempt to hear your word, O God, bless even our doubts, our wonderings and our wanderings, our soul struggles, life's deep questions and deeper mysteries. Teach us to love our questions as well as our answers as we reflect and pray this morning. Amen. A wife woke up one morning and said, "Honey, I just dreamt that you bought me a gold necklace for Valentine's Day. What do you think it means?" "I don't know," said the husband, "but Friday you'll know." A few nights later, she woke up after another dream. This time, "I dreamt you gave me a pearl necklace. What do you think it means?" "You'll know Friday," replied the husband. The night before Valentine's Day, she woke up again telling hubby, "This time I dreamt that you bought me a diamond necklace. What do you think it means?" "Honey, be patient. You'll know tonight," he said. That evening, the husband came home with a Valentine's gift for his wife. He handed her a package with a heart-covered wrapping paper, and so delighted, she opened it to find a book entitled The Meaning of Your Dreams. The Sunday closest to Valentine's Day is a great day to spend some time thinking about the human heart. We know the heart is more than a physical organ or a vital muscle that pumps blood through our bodies. When we talk about our hearts, we're talking about the core of our being. We talk about the human heart as the seat of love, of compassion or tenderness, of courage. And our language knows this because we say, "Take heart." If we've had a change of heart, we've had a shift in our perspective, a rethinking of plans, a significant change in our outlook. The heart is also the seat of memory. To know something by heart is to know it perfectly. The heart is the seat of yearning and desire. We attribute the heart as the source of perseverance. There was an old pilgrim who was making his way to the Himalayan peaks in the bitter cold of winter when it began to rain. And an innkeeper said to him, "My good man, how will you ever get there in this kind of weather?" And the old man answered cheerfully, "My heart already has been there, so it's easy for the rest of me to follow." Our scriptures today are all about choosing to lead and live from our hearts. In the Old Testament, God says we can either live by God's heart, known to us by God's laws and commandments, and choose life, or we can walk away from God, choosing death. But it affirms that God's desire for us is that we choose life. And for the last few weeks, we've been reflecting on the Beatitudes, those blessings associated with the kingdom of God. For many, these teachings are the lyrics to the love song of God's heart given to us by Jesus. Last week, we reflected on how Jesus hoped to breathe new life, new relevance into the commandments by going to the heart of their intent. In the gospel accompanying today's readings, Jesus pushes the envelope a little further, and he suggests that living a faithful life goes beyond living by God's commandments. Yes, we may have obeyed the law if we don't murder, but Jesus says that's not enough. Not only can you not act on it, but your heart must be free from the anger that would have motivated the crime. For Jesus, it isn't about the letter of the law, it's about the heart behind the law. It's one thing to behave rightly, but it's something else to have one's heart entirely oriented towards love. For Jesus, choosing life means consistently choosing love, love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self. In the words we heard from Paul today, he talks about us as infants in Christ, still behaving according to human inclinations. Even though we're made in the image of God, our hearts do not keep time with the beating of God's heart. While God's heart sings out a love song begun in creation and sung to us, still, our hearts fall short. And as many of us know, keeping one's heart focused on being loving is not easy, especially when we live in communities. There were a group of monks who lived in a remote monastery deep in the woods, and they followed a rigid vow of silence. Their vow could only be broken once a year by one monk on Valentine's Day. That monk could say one sentence. So the first Valentine's Day, Brother Thomas had his turn to speak. And he said, "I love the delightful mashed potatoes that we have every year with our Valentine's Day roast." Then he sat down. Silence ensued for 365 days. And the next Valentine's Day, Brother Michael got his turn. "I think the mashed potatoes are lumpy, and I truly despise them." Once again, silence ensued for 365 days. The following Valentine's Day, Brother Paul rose and said, "I'm fed up with this constant bickering." Love, my friends, is always a choice. And sometimes people make that choice very difficult, but it's still the choice we're called to. Someone once caught W.C. Fields reading the Bible, and the person asked, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm looking for loopholes." And the problem is that with the love of God and Jesus, there are no loopholes to be found. There are no compromises, no deals to be made, no escape hatches. Love is total. It's unconditional, or it's not love at all. The commandment says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Not just a little, not just mostly, but totally and completely, giving it our all. When Jesus calls us to choose life and love, he talks of a love that does not depend on chemistry or mood or feelings. The love God calls us to does not depend on the behavior of others. It's the love that enters into feeding others, into healing others, into showing grace to others, into giving peace to others, valuing others regardless of who they are or what they have or have not done. Once upon a time, a young woman was complaining to her mother about her life, and she shared how miserable she was. She didn't know what to do. She was tired of fighting and struggling, and she just wanted to give up. One problem got solved, and a new one popped up. Her mother took her to the kitchen where she boiled 3 pots of water. In the first, she placed carrots. In the second, eggs. And the last, she placed ground coffee beans. Without saying a word, after 10 minutes, she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots and eggs out and put them on a plate, and she poured coffee into a cup. She turned to her daughter and asked, "Tell me what you see." "Well, carrots, eggs, and coffee," she replied. And her mother brought her closer and asked her to feel the carrots. She did. They were kind of soft. So the mother then asked her daughter to peel the eggs, and voila, she had hard-boiled eggs. Finally, the mother asked her daughter to sip the coffee, and the daughter smiled as she tasted its rich aroma. And the daughter then asked, "Okay, Mom, what are you getting at?" And the mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same conditions, boiling water, but each had reacted differently. The carrot went in strong and hard and unrelenting, but after the boiling water, the carrots were softened and became weak. The eggs went in fragile. They had a thin outer shell protecting liquid interiors. But after the boiling, the insides were hardened. The ground coffee was unique. After being in the boiling water, the coffee beans changed not themselves, but the water. "Which are you?" she asked her daughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? Which are you?" And it's a good question. What about us? How do our hearts respond? Are our hearts like carrots that seem strong, but with pain and adversity, they wilt and become soft and lose strength? Or are we like eggs? We start off with soft hearts, but we allow the knocks of life to harden us. After a death or a breakup or a financial hardship or some other trial, have we let the episode harden our hearts or left us feeling like mush? Or are we able to be more like the coffee bean? When the water gets hot, the bean releases fragrance and flavor. The very circumstance that brings change transforms the bean into something rich, aromatic, a source of great enjoyment, for some even a necessity or an addiction. If we're like the bean, when things are at their worst, we might actually improve and change the situation around us. When the hour is the darkest and the trials are the greatest, do we have the capacity in our hearts to create a new reality, full of energy, with a potential for new life? Sophocles said, one word frees us of all the weight and pain of life. That word is love. And we need to remember the happiest of people don't necessarily have the best of everything, but they have a special gift of making the best of everything that comes their way. There's a story of a little boy named Chad who was shy and quiet. And one day he told his mother he'd like to make a Valentine for everyone in his class. His mom's heart sank. She worried because she'd watched children walk home from school and her Chad was always left behind. The others laughed and talked and hung on each other, but Chad was never included. Nevertheless, she went along with her son for 3 weeks. Night after night, Chad painstakingly made 35 Valentines, one for every child in his class. Valentine's Day dawned, and Chad was beside himself with excitement. He carefully packed up his Valentines and bolted out the door. His mom anticipated disappointment. So to ease the pain, she baked Chad his favorite cookies for when he got home from school. It really hurt her to think that he wouldn't get many Valentines, maybe none at all. So after getting the cookies and glass of milk ready, she watched and waited. And sure enough, there they came, laughing and having the best of time. And as always, there was Chad in the rear. He walked a little faster than usual, and she fully expected him to burst into tears as soon as he got inside. Chad's mother noticed his hands were empty, and she choked back the tears. She said to him, "Mommy has some warm cookies and milk for you." But he hardly heard her words. He just marched right on by, his face aglow, and all he could say was, "Not one, not a one." And her heart sank even more. And then he added, "I didn't forget a single one." Stevie Wonder suggested we should use our hearts to love somebody. And if our hearts are big enough, use our hearts to love everybody. Lao Tzu said being deeply loved gives you strength, while loving deeply gives you courage. God calls us to choose life by living fully, loving wastefully, and becoming all God has created us to be. Jesus wanted his followers to be whole, to be free, to be life givers, peacemakers, community builders, and generators of love, mercy, and joy. So as we go out to be the church in the world, may we heed that call. May we listen for the heartbeat of God, and may we choose love. Amen.